What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Today, we're in the stoop. And Abe, what is on your mind today? This is a big episode.
Big episode. Why?
We got a special guest coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Awesome episode.
Yeah, introduce yourself to the people because we could get some new faces in here. Sure.
My name's Abe Granoff. I am a cuck for a living. I host a podcast with my best friend. Nothing that ever I want to happen in sports ever happens in my life. And that's pretty much all you need to know about me.
And plug the YouTube channel.
Oh, and subscribe, like, hit the button
below.
Bell, maybe put it here. Ding!
Subscribe on YouTube to the Snapback Sports Pod.
But Instagram, hey, TikTok.
What is on your mind today?
Just got back from Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday. Raleigh, North Carolina. Nobody corrected me when I was down there. And I did a really good deed this weekend for the first time in my life. I tipped an Uber driver.
Why?
They earned it. What? They earned it.
What? How? How do you earn that?
So this is how you earn it. It was Friday night, I want to say. And I had like a late lunch, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I didn't know that North Carolina is known for barbecue.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. They had the
Carolina barbecue. You've never heard of that?
I kind of remembered after. Okay. But the reason they're known for is like they use a vinegar based in their sauce and it makes it a little bit more liquidy, irrelevant. Ate a late lunch, was doing some work later on for the basketball games, was watching the games with some coworkers, then was headed back to the hotel around, I don't know, 10, 10:30, and I was starving. Starving, man. And so I call an Uber, and I had a few beers in me. I was feeling loose, and shooting the shit with the Uber driver, good guy, and we drive past a Wendy's, and I'm like, my man, can we please stop, like, go through the drive-thru? I'll get you something. He was like, yeah, I got you. Pull up to the Wendy's drive-thru, closed. Burger King across the street. I was like, my guy. Whopper. Junior. So we go to Burger King, closed. At this point, I'm just like, whatever, man. Yeah. Let's just go back to the hotel. We're on our way back to the hotel. We're driving past the McDonald's. He goes, you want me to check out McDonald's?
Wow.
And I'm like, you want to get married? stops at McDonald's for me. He didn't want anything. Goes through the drive-thru. I'm in the back seat ordering by myself. Get McDonald's late night.
What's the order? What's the late night order?
So I'm not like a McDonald's guy. Mm-hmm. But I've realized after not having it for so long, like, I know why people love it.
Yeah.
That shit is so good. I got a double quarter pounder with cheese and a bacon ranch McCrispy, which is a
interesting.
It's new. It's a McChicken. Sounds with good. Bacon and ranch. Really good. Small fry. That was the order.
What'd that run you?
$13.
Okay.
In Raleigh. Right. Raleigh. Which one is it?
It's Raleigh.
Raleigh, North Carolina, overall. Exactly what you'd expect.
What I hear it's an up-and-coming city. Is that what I would expect or
it's
not?
Fine. Okay. It's fine. It's all cheap. Right.
Talk me through the Uber. How much is the Uber? How much was McDonald's? You said 13.
McDonald's was $13. That's two sandwiches and a small fry.
How much was the Uber? Pre-tip.
Probably $11, $12.
On the company or on you?
On the company.
Okay. McDonald's on you or on the company?
I'll probably take that one.
Okay. And how much was the tip?
$3.
Okay.
25% tip.
Yeah.
I was going to buy him McDonald's.
Yeah, right. And that probably would have cost
so
more.
So I was like in my bag a little bit and I'm like, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. I have nothing to do on a Friday night. It's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go be a good human. I'm going to go out by myself.
On the company, right? To be clear.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Put the phone down, get some beers, get some dinner, watch the basketball.
Simple bet. You guys are
just,
great
do
company.
Not dox where I work. Bleep that out. And I go out by myself for dinner, and I put my phone down for like 4 minutes, and then it was halftime of the Alabama game. I was like, well, I got to bet. So yeah, I pull my phone out, and I just start chatting up random people next to me throughout the weekend. First guy that sits next to me, Dez Bryant Cowboys jersey.
I was
like, this is going to be tough.
In North Carolina. Interesting. Actually,
I land in Raleigh. Within the first 15 minutes, I see a bumper sticker and a license plate, Philadelphia Eagles. I was like, wow, people love Miles Sanders here. but yeah, you don't really ever need to get to Raleigh, North Carolina.
But if you did, you're okay.
And grab some barbecue, hang for 2 days. Every Uber driver I had was really cool. Everyone I was chatting up, a guy in the other yesterday on the way to the airport had a Panthers hat and a Panthers shirt. And was just doing like self-deprecating Panthers humor the entire time.
Okay.
When I told him I was an Eagles fan. And he was like, man, they're trying to trick this fan base by signing Adam Thielen, by signing Miles
Let's
Sanders.
Go.
He's got his pulse.
Because I put out that it's disturbing that a team would put their new quarterback, star quarterback, young first-round pick quarterback, in a situation like this. And I got Panthers fans now coming at me. And I'm like, look, it's definitely not the worst weapons that have ever been put together. But why not put your quarterback in a position to succeed? Give him a guy.
So that's what the Uber driver said to me, and I rebutted, and I said, look what the Jags did with Trevor Lawrence last year. And the wide
receiver
market.
And it was a disaster.
Was it?
What are you talking about? Like, I thought you were saying
the Christian Kirk,
year.
$74 yeah. million.
But Christian Kirk's good.
Last year.
People just
but
were
everyone,
trolling.
But everyone was trolling, and people are kind of trolling these mid-market
because they've
decisions.
Been there. No, time out. Christian Kirk had never gotten to that point, but he was young with potential and had never played in that role. We've seen Adam Thielen. We know what direction his career's headed in. We've seen DJ Chark. They're good players, but why not give your guy
right,
a
but everyone
a pacifier,
thought that
a
everyone thought that, like, oh, the Jags are signing Christian Kirk. They're signing Evan Ingram. Like,
yeah.
They're giving Lawrence nothing, and he ended up doing well with
on
them.
On top of that, they gave him Doug Peterson.
They gave him Doug Peterson. And they gave him Frank Reich.
Yeah.
They gave him Josh McCown.
I'm just saying, if you got the quarterback on a rookie deal, give him DeAndre Hopkins and be like, all right, you want to throw the ball in his direction 8 times, it'll probably work out. So
the first thing I'm doing with a rookie quarterback, forget the weapons, is I'm building an offensive line.
Build O line. Build in out. I'm not asking for you to give him like Joe Burrow and you get Chase and Higgins and all those guys. I'm just saying give him a guy. Give him a guy he can
Chark
trust.
Could be a guy.
Thielen is good. Anyways, if you're listening to this pod, welcome. We do talk about sports here sometimes. We're going to talk about the Final Four right now. We're recording this Sunday morning before the Horns are headed to Houston. Texas plays against Miami today, and then Creighton against San Diego State. UConn has already clinched their spot in the Final Four, and FAU, a 9 seed, Cinderella story, has clinched their spot. So the question is, with either FAU or either FAU or Creighton San Diego State, the winner of today's game will be in the national championship. Mm-hmm. We'll be playing in the last game of the season. Do we care about the Final Four?
If gambling wasn't legal, I don't think we would, my brother. I actually said this to my roommate last night. I was like, do you consider FAU a Cinderella story as a 9 seed? And he's like, oh, 100%. Yeah. And I was like, well, would you have considered Villanova a Cinderella story when they won as an 8 seed? And he was like, yeah. Maybe not because it's Villanova.
No.
They were an 8 seed when they won.
That was wild. That's the longest seed to ever win the championship.
Okay, but I'm saying at that time, did you consider Villanova a Cinderella story?
You know that was when they won like in 1970.
I thought it was when they won with Jalen.
No.
Brunson.
No.
Are you sure?
They were the 1 seed.
Both times?
He won
2 national championships.
They were like 1s and 4s or anyway. 1 and 3.
Do we care? Of course we care. It's March Madness.
Really?
I do find it hard to have so much interest and to put stock into not calling it a Mickey Mouse National Championship when the 4 teams are...
Well, you got to load your narrative in case Texas fucks around and does the job.
I think I'm good on that.
Wait, what do you mean?
I just don't think Texas is going to win at all.
Well, based on what? Based on
the logo on your shirt and what usually happens.
What?
Like, when have you ever been destined to be happy?
Never.
Exactly.
But this is the time.
Okay.
This is finally the time.
Right. This is finally the time. Best of luck.
Thank you.
I'm totally kidding. Let's go to you. I find it hard when you don't have a true blue blood in there, leading
the way.
Well,
you say that. This is another conversation. Is UConn a blue blood?
No.
Because this is their 5th Final Four
since
2004. They have the most championships since 2004 with 4, more than Carolina, more than Kansas, more than Duke, more than Kentucky. So how are you going to say they're not?
Blue blood vibes is what you need.
They do. They had Hashim Thabeet. That's a #1 overall pick. They've got Kemba. They've got Napier. They got the faces in March. It's because they don't have the consistent coach. January, February, Izzo. They don't have Coach K or Roy Williams, but they have had sustained success for now 20 years, 2 decades. I think they're a blue blood 100%.
I don't. I don't know. UConn women, sure. But
UConn women are out.
I decided watching UConn actually kick the shit out of Gonzaga and Timmy that UConn can't win a national championship.
Wow.
And the reason's Bob Hurley, their coach.
Yeah.
They were
Dan Hurley.
Dan Hurley?
Yeah.
Is his brother Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. They were up like 30 with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Some play happened in the game, and Dan Hurley's face was as red as Clifford the Big Red Dog.
That's what you like to see.
That shows me that we have a hard-o leaving the locker room, and that's not a guy I want to play for down
your guy, Jerome Tang, isn't a hard-o. He's a good guy, and he's out of the tournament.
Go to
so what do you
the
know?
Jewish community.
Yeah, that's what FAU's dancing to right now. De'Aaron Fox doesn't care. De'Aaron Fox said college basketball is unwatchable. The players can't shoot. The coaching's awful. The refs are even worse. And that's why I love March Madness. And the first 2 days and even Saturday, Sunday are awesome. Basketball all day long, the passion, the emotion. But then you get to Saturday and Sunday of the Elite Eight, and there's one game on at a time. And not even talking about the fact that the game was a blowout. Like, the game Kansas State-FAU was spectacular. Mm-hmm. But the quality of basketball is nowhere near. Like, I actually flipped on at halftime last night to Nuggets-Bucks, which could be a finals preview. Could be. Relax. I know the Knicks are probably going. But, KCP comes off a screen, wide open, bucket. Like, yeah. Everything is clean, pure. Every player is better than the next. And in college, like, Kansas State is struggling to get the ball inside the paint. So I understand where people are coming from. If Texas wasn't in it, what would my interest level be without gambling, without doing content? Probably limited.
Yeah.
I understand that. But that's why we do the damn thing. I have a UConn future, a Texas future, and a Creighton future.
Congratulations to the FAU Owls for their first national championship in team history.
Wait, you know they had never won a tournament game?
Yeah, and now they've won four. All right, so the De'Aaron Fox stuff, though, that was a funny quote to me because I vividly remember De'Aaron Fox in the locker room with his face in his hands,
really?
Crying his eyes out after his last college basketball game. Where De'Aaron Fox is 100% correct. The product is so much worse. Everything he said, from the shot making to the coaching to the refereeing, is so much at such a lower level than the NBA. He's spot on there. Where he's not spot on is that's not the reason why we watch college basketball. Yeah. The reason we watch college basketball is the reason that you had your face in your hands. Mm. It's because of the passion that these kids have that they play with. The fact that anything can happen in one basketball game. It's a round ball that can bounce numerous amounts of ways. Yeah. And we watch it because of the passion. We watch it because we bet. And we watch it because the tournament style that it brings.
And Marquise Noel is why you watch the tournament.
Because stories like that, man.
There's no story in the NBA this season that you see a player playing like that, and it's just like, holy crap.
Not Julius Randle?
It's funny. I was at the game last night, and I was at the game in the Garden for Julius Randle scoring 57, and I said it was mind-boggling what Julius was doing. The tough shot-making, the incredible shot. But, like, Noel, every time he touched the ball, it was like, oh, my God, what's he going to do? And then he kept doing it, which is why the fact that he passed off the last shot, it was like, brother, you earned
that
shot.
That's what I'm saying. It's
you
like,
earned
dude, you
that.
Dropped 20. What did he drop yesterday?
He dropped 30 and 12.
30 and 12 or something. It's like, you could have airballed that shot from 40
you
feet.
You
could have
thrown
team.
The ball into
nobody,
the bleachers.
Nobody would have been mad. You captivated.
People were mad because he passed.
Exactly. It's LeBron. Yeah. It's LeBron. You captivated the hearts of everyone in America in these last 2 weeks.
Take that
and
shot.
At that point, it's like, you've earned this opportunity to take that shot. And listen, just like the greats, he chose to make the right basketball play, and it didn't work out. Yeah. I absolutely...
Round of applause for Marquise
I
Snow
fell in love with this Kansas State basketball team.
Yeah.
All because of a stupid TikTok I saw of Coach Jerome Fett. That's a coach you want to play for. Dan Hurley? No. I want to play to my coach vibing out to Lil Baby in the locker
Even
room.
Even though he's a little awkward.
Dude. He's got rhythm.
He's got rhythm.
He's got
he's
rhythm. You could not. You could never.
All right. Going into the Elite Eight today, Texas plays their 4-point favorites over Miami. What's your prediction? Who wins it all going into the weekend? Are you riding with UConn? They're the prohibitive favorites.
Part of me is riding with FAU.
Wow.
Part of me is riding
with FAU. They have a little villain arc.
They have a villain arc. Yeah. They have these guards that can play.
Yeah.
And they've just got momentum. And I saw Coach Jerome Fang, who I will follow him into the fucking
tank. Close. Yeah. Positive.
I will follow him. I will follow him into the sun. And unlike January, February Izzo, who took his loss like a little bitch, who was saying that Kansas State got lucky, this and that, Jerome Tang marched into that FAU locker room and said, nobody can beat you. You're the best team we played all year. Don't run away from this. This is your tournament to lose. And that's what I love from Coach Tang. And I'm riding with FAU the rest of the way.
Okay. They're out. They're going to lose to Creighton.
I can't wait.
I'm praying. All right, well, let's welcome our guests. We got a little interview
with me.
I think Texas wins today. I think Texas UConn is the national championship in the Final Four, which obviously people have said stuff like that before. It doesn't always play out, but I think the winner of that game wins. UConn's the best team in the tourney. If Dylan Dessou can get healthy in between now and the Final Four, I think it's anyone's game in the Final
Did
Four.
Did I see?
And Texas will have home court. I mean, the game's in Houston. It'll be a home
crowd. It's a football stadium. It'll the basketball game.
And we'll be 50,000 deep, and I'll be there.
You're going?
Yeah.
Even if Texas doesn't make it?
Yeah.
Nice.
We're doing some content
nice.
Down there.
I saw something with Dylan Dessou, and correct me if I'm wrong. I just kind of put two and two together. You remember when Steph broke the three-point record mm-hmm. in the Garden mm-hmm. and Draymond wasn't going to play, but mm-hmm. it was important that he started yeah. that game yeah. and took the tip? Did Dylan Dessou do a little something
yeah,
like
the
that?
Coach did that.
Oh, so it was, man.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird that they did that, and then he got hit in the eye, and then he came out with a walking boot. It was kind of a bizarre
situation.
That's
Joel Embiid in a nutshell right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. All right, let's welcome our guest, J.R. Smith. We had him on. We had a little interview with him because he's promoting his new series, Redefined. It's a documentary on Amazon Prime Video, so check it out.
Docuseries.
He's a two-time NBA champion with a 4.0 GPA and the star of the brand new Prime Video docuseries, Redefined. Please welcome our guest, J.R. Smith. J.R., how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. Let's hop right into it.
It's like 3.89 right now, by the way.
What happened?
I had a little slippage.
You know what? It happens. It's better than the GPA that I had in college. But anyway, we're very excited
about this new
trigonometry
got in the way.
We're very excited about this new docuseries coming out on your journey at the HBCU and playing collegiate golf. What are you most excited for the people to see or learn about in this docuseries?
I think for me, more importantly, I think the most important thing to learn out of it is the power to overcome your insecurities and things you've been really second-guessed or self-conscious about, or just something that really just brought a trauma to your life. Like for me, as a kid, my academics were always last on my list because I was never good at school. I hated reading. I grew up in a I grew up with the IEP being dyslexic and ADHD and not being able to confidently live within myself because I felt like I was so much different than everybody else. And seeing my peers and people, excel in the classroom and stuff like that, it was, for me, something I always was very insecure of and shied away from. So for more than anything, I just hope people can understand that aspect of it and overcome and getting to a point to where you feel like you've achieved and been successful. Like, I think that's the most important thing to take from it. And I feel as though if you can, put yourself in my place and whatever issues you have going on in your life, and it's not just necessarily academics for everybody, obviously, but you look at it from that aspect, I think it resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah, well, we love your kind of journey that's gotten you to this point because it's very relatable that a lot of people don't take school first and, people evolve with time, and it's cool to see you talk out about all this type of stuff. Given the fact that you went straight to the league from high school, now do you think with NIL you would have gone to college, gotten your education while being able to make a little money along the way, or do you still like that path?
No, I still like that path for me. I mean, especially for me, because that was always my, my dream, my goal to play in the NBA. And to get there as soon as possible would always been a mission for me. If I was going to college, fortunately they won the national championship without me, so it wasn't like they really needed me that bad. And if I'd have went, it'd probably been more like a one and done situation, because you look at the people who were coming out around that time, it was people who were, typically around my size, shooting the ball and athletic. So it would have been a pretty much a one done situation from my standpoint anyway, depending on, you know, so many other variables come into it, how you get along with coaches and stuff like that in the college aspect because they control so much. But for me, I like that. I like the straight out of high school route because that was my goal, and I feel like I had the game for it.
So you're a two-sport athlete now on the North Carolina A&T golf team as well as a two-time champion in the NBA. There's always a question around golf, and mostly Jack and I talk about this a lot, and I'll be very frank because we both suck at golf, but we try to, that golf isn't a sport. Or golfers aren't athletes. What is there about golf and golfers that's misunderstood in the realm of, like, the athleticism that's needed, or is it actually a sport?
I mean, I was one of the people who didn't consider a golf a sport because I don't think you can translate it into anything else to where, you know, other sports where I would say athletic ability as far as running, throwing, jumping, and those agility things. But once I started playing golf, I realized how much of a sport it was when you sit here and, for one, you know, I started off riding around in a cart. And I always said there was no way I would carry my own bag and play. Like, I would literally quit. And now I'm literally carrying my own bag in these college tournaments and trying to compete and stuff like that. And it's like, there's no other sport like it. Like, when it comes to the, you know, just a hand-eye coordination of trying to swing a club at 117 miles per hour and meet up with the ball and hopefully, and not even hopefully, but intentionally get it to a certain spot, 150, 200, 300, 400 yards away on purpose. Like, it's just, there's no other sport like it, not even close. And to consider these guys not athletes, when you see, you know, whether it be a John Daly, because he's like the typical quote unquote, I guess, look of a non-golfer athlete, whatever, or golfer non-athlete. But when you see him hit the ball 350 and he can hit a, you know, a 7-iron 200 yards for 10 feet, like, how can you not consider that person a golfer or an athlete? Even after they're walking, I mean, what, 8-9 miles a day.
Yeah, I never really thought about how many miles you walk in a day. Golf is all about the reps. I have a different question for you. LeBron James has attempted 27,000 plus attempts in his career. He's obviously the scoring champion. Do you think if you took as many shots as LeBron in your career, you would have the scoring record?
Yeah, for sure.
There you go. It's confidence 100%. Is key. Well, you've been out of the NBA for a few years now, and you've been more on the links playing some golf. Let's do a little hypothetical here. Your life is on the line. You've got a top of the key three, wide open, nobody around you, or you have a 4-foot putt to sink. Which at this point in your life would you choose, today's J.R. Smith, to take?
Right now, if I'm betting my life on it, probably the 4-foot putt.
Is there somebody else's life that would change that answer, maybe?
Yeah, anybody outside of my immediate realm.
So Jack or I, that's fair. We only have a few minutes.
Yeah, I probably should have three on that one.
There you go. Well, we only have a few minutes left here, and a lot of this docuseries is about your journey throughout the NBA career and now your college career. And part of your journey involves you were in the headlines on and off throughout your career, obviously as a young kid. And now you see in the NBA today that John Morant is finding himself in the headlines as well. Is there any advice that you could give, or can you resonate at all to what he's been going through and comment on that situation?
I mean, I can resonate a lot with this situation. I don't know him personally. I heard he's a great person, a great guy. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think a lot of people have given me the benefit of the doubt. So I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt of being, you know, not judging his character based off what I've seen or what people who actually know him know. For me, I think the only advice I could give him right now is to, you know, find somebody to talk to. Find an outlet, find somebody who you feel confident in to having, you know, real conversations and tough conversations with my people who's just going to tell you what you need to hear just because you're John Morant. And, you know, people who don't want anything from you, people who aren't in your pockets or on your payroll or just hanging around you just to be, you know, because you job. Find somebody who you can literally reach out and call, whether it be an old vet, whether it be an old teacher, an old coach, or, you know, whoever that person is for him, or whether it even be a therapist. And I don't want to put that on him and say that's what he needs, but that's what I think a lot of us professional athletes we shy away from because of the stereotypical type of, oh, I'm talking to so-and-so is talking to a shrink or talking to somebody or whatever, and opposed to the real benefits of the, that can happen from it. So for me personally, my advice for him, to find somebody safe that you feel like you can talk to and realistically gonna give you straight answers opposed to just telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah. And I appreciate you speaking out on therapy and changing that narrative. It's really important. Let's close really quickly with rapid fire. Let's get you out of here. Are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Cavs or Lakers championship? Which meant more?
Cavs.
Ooh,
okay. Cavs, for sure.
What's the most you've ever spent on a night out? Could be dinner, could be the club, could be, you know, anything.
I think like 30.
Okay. $30. That's not bad.
No, a little higher than that.
Who is your dream golf foursome?
Myself, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, and my dad.
Okay. I like that. Who's the toughest player you had to guard in the league?
Kobe.
Who's your best teammate ever?
Probably James Jones.
Okay, last question. Are the New York Knicks winning the championship this season?
Get the hell out of here.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. I do have one more question before we let you go.
Not this year.
I have one more question before I let you go. I had to ask, what does Jay Crowder owe you money for?
We had a little game back in the day, and he paid though, so we good.
Okay, we're going to clip this and tag him and make sure you got your money back.
Nah, he looked out. That's my dog. So it wasn't like it was any beef towards it. It was funny from the standpoint of what he was saying. And I just figured I would chime in on that. But there's no beef with me and Jay. That's my dog.
All right. Appreciate it, JR. Everyone make sure to check out the new documentary. We're really excited. April 4th, going to catch that. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Be well, JR.
Did Lamar Jackson finally get his weapon?
We was catching him. Unlike Aguilar.
So, on paper, what is Nelson Aguilar?
Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champion.
Who had 8 receptions for 84 yards in the biggest stage.
He's a meme. He's a viral sensation. Not because of himself, but because of, you know, a guy in Philly. He's a stretch the field type guy.
What?
On paper, if you're like, hey, what can this guy do? He can run really fast and be press coverage. He can stretch the field. True or false? Hold on.
Keep going.
On the field, he has the lowest reception per routes run over the last 3 seasons. He's received 1-year contract.
Context. He was being thrown to by Carson Wentz at one point.
Derek Carr and Mac Jones. I understand. But over the past 3 seasons, the lowest. Also in the past 3 seasons, he signed 1-year deals, of which none were renewed. So maybe a sign. What the hell are the Ravens doing? What are they doing?
You get a champion in the locker room. You've been asking for the Lamar's number one or Huntley's number one. And who knows? This could be it. You get a Nelson Aguilar with a chip on his shoulder. That's a scary sight,
but he's,
man,
had a chip on his shoulder the last couple seasons. No.
You got to get a little excited about this.
No, I'm not excited at
this
all.
This is the exact same thing the Ravens have been doing for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
1-year deals to mediocre, come and prove it. Maybe you'll have a breakout season with us and be the guy. And newsflash, it hasn't worked.
Yeah, people being like, he's an upgrade over DeMarcus Robinson. Okay.
It's a lateral
hell
move.
Hell yeah. No, what the Ravens used to do 5 years ago with Flacco, which they should do, is trade or pick up the, not wash, but on the steady decline, but not too deep of a decline, veteran star receivers.
Odell.
Steve Smith, Aquan Bolden. Why am I saying? Anquan Bolden. No, the next guy is staring you in the face. If they do not go get DeAndre Hopkins, the Ravens will not have Lamar Jackson on the team next year. Not because Lamar's like, hey, you have to get me D-Hop, because the only reason to not get him is because you don't want to just burn cap and burn a draft pick, you know, on a guy who's going to be playing with Tyler Huntley. So I actually think that based on where DeAndre Hopkins goes, that's going to signal to the league what's going on with Lamar Jackson. What is going on with Lamar Jackson? We'll take our internet graphic of the week. So why don't you do a little Q&A? I know a little bit about the scenario.
Sure. So from what I can understand, there's a man out there by the name of Ken.
Ken, I don't know.
Lamar
don't
Ken, know. We're
yeah,
calling him.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is Lamar's boy.
Yeah, that's his homie.
It's his homie. And all I'll say is Jack and I have been friends for 18 plus years, whatever the fuck it's been now. Never once has he tried to call NFL teams and try and make me $300 million.
You did text me yesterday you want to start an OnlyFans business.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay. All right.
No, I didn't. I did not say. You can't just word it like that.
What did you say?
An OnlyFans vertical for the Snapback Agency where we represent creators all right. and get them content.
So,
deals.
Look, yeah, we do business dealings. Lamar does business dealings with Ken. So, essentially, the internet graphic of the week is... the NFL put out a memo warning teams to not negotiate with this guy, Ken. Ken is Lamar Jackson's friend, business associate, whatever he may be. Within the realm of this memo coming out, because allegedly he was going behind teams' backs and trying to speak with teams to negotiate for Lamar, Lamar and Ken also launched a workout business together. Mm. The workout business.
This has pyramid scheme written all over
literally.
It.
Literally. So there's a video on Lamar's Twitter of him wheeling out the thing. So it's like an all-in-one workout thing with weights and an iPad's attached to it all on a cart. And Lamar's doing sit-ups and then he's watching a video and then he's promoting the thing. So obviously the internet did its thing, did a little research on it. They completely copied the terms and service from Tonal. You know Tonal. Mm-hmm. So much so that they left Tonal in the terms and services. Like they, it was a straight copy.
I love plagiarism.
So yeah, the people that, you know, given the whole situation with the no agent and with Lamar keeping it very tight and the negotiations going not very well, people are like, this is a disaster. And now Lamar people, you know, who have protected Lamar are flipping on him and being like, look, we can't protect you anymore. We can't say it's the NFLPA. We can't say it's the owners, you know, colluding behind your back. At this point,
he's adding fuel to the fire a bit.
You're just not doing it the right way. You can't have this sketchy guy going.
What's sketchy about it? Imagine you hit me up. You're like, yo, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just at Starbucks doing some work. Gonna call up Dan Snyder and try and get you $300 million.
Yeah, I respect that, but it's not how you do it. It's actually illegal. What they're trying to do.
Well, you gonna arrest them?
Who knows? Well, they're gonna get big fines.
All so. I know is get you a boy like Ken.
Get you a boy like Ken. All right. Ezekiel Elliott to the Eagles. As an Eagles fan, are you intrigued? Oh, you're eating. You're eating.
I'm also starving. Are we getting lunch after this?
Yeah, we're getting lunch.
So apparently Zeke put out his own list of Eagles, Jets, and Bengals. Those are the three teams.
And the Jets running back said, we got over here. And Cincinnati already came out and said, nah, we're okay.
But there's been no interest from the Eagles is what I've read. From a football standpoint, don't really give a shit.
Really?
It's a running back. From a vibe standpoint, fuck the Cowboys. You'll find me. I hate Zeke. I would love him in Philadelphia. It has shades of DeMarco Murray when we signed him to a big contract from Dallas written all over it. 0% chance it works out in our favor if we do sign Zeke. However, for the vibes, I'm totally in on stealing Zeke from the Cowboys.
Right. What's the vibe? Because you like Zeke or would like him as an Eagle? Or the vibe is just poaching one of their best players ever?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, like, listen, I trust Howie Roseman to not give Zeke over $1 million guaranteed. Yeah, yeah. And then if you have a two, like, if he's used the same way he was with Pollard and he's not making $10 to $12 million a year, I don't think Zeke is washed.
No, I agree with you. Like, why is he any different than Lenny Fournette?
Right.
That's it.
Exactly. That's what I said about him. It's like, why wouldn't he go to a Buffalo? He would catch passes. You need me to put the wire in my shirt
no,
again?
No, you're good.
So that's why I'm in on it. I feel like it's as long as the cap hit isn't anything more than $2 million, even that would be a lot, then it's a low risk, high reward type play.
Okay.
So I think it'd be fun.
All right, we're going to move to the association. And as we do so, there's going to be a couple quotes we're going to have to read. So, let me read a quote to you, Abe.
Sure.
And close your eyes and let me know what this sounds like. Okay. In all honesty, he's probably not going to join us for the rest of the year. Who said that?
Jack Settleman on Twitter about 2.5 months ago.
Ooh, okay. About Ben Simmons. Now, that was Jacques Vaughn.
When?
But that was last night. But what was really weird is that Jacques Vaughn, in a prior press conference, said this: Ben Simmons will not be shut down for the season.
Why did he have to answer that question at that point in time?
I'm not sure.
Was there a report out there?
And there was a guy named Shams who put out a similar report that doubled down and confirmed that, no, the Brooklyn Nets aren't shutting down Ben Simmons. So, yes, our report that Ben Simmons would be shut down for the year has been confirmed.
Snapback Sources is fully back, never left. And for those of you who are doubting us on Twitter, shout out to the Twitter account Brooklyn Netcast. You were crying. Oh, every Brooklyn Net fan knew this. Oh, yeah? Let's go to the replies when we tweeted out originally that he'd be shut down, what Brooklyn Net fans thought. Listen, we had our finger right on the pulse with this one. Mm-hmm. We knew Simmons would be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it before, and I'll say it again. What has transpired with Ben Simmons in Brooklyn throughout this entire last year and a half is the craziest thing in the entire world.
Wait, just in Brooklyn?
In Philadelphia, too.
Yeah,
I want to read a tweet real quick.
Okay.
And this is just mind-boggling to me. Here's what the Nets gave up to acquire Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, 2 first-round picks, and 1/2 of a year of Andre Drummond. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen, all-star.
Ooh.
Caris LeVert, him.
Bucket.
Torian Prince, once dropped 33 points in Madison Square Garden. Rodion Kurucs,
yeah.
Okay, it's fine. 3 first-round picks, 4 pick swaps, James Harden, and Paul Millsap. It's a good offload.
Yeah.
It's a good offload. That is what the Brooklyn Nets gave up to acquire, to actually have the fortune of having a guy named Ben Simmons on their roster. Mm. What we have seen happened with the Brooklyn Nets in the last 3 years, everything from rebuilding, acquiring all these picks, making the splash, signing Kevin Durant, signing Kyrie Irving, trading for James Harden, 16 games of that. At this point, Jack, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, and Spencer Dinwiddie have played more minutes together on the Brooklyn Nets than Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden did already.
Wow.
It only took 300-something.
Wow.
They played 16 games together. Oh. And I just think this whole, like, I would love a 30 for 30 about the Brooklyn Nets over the last 4 years.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Yep. Couldn't be the Knicks. I mean, everyone said KD, Kyrie, Zion. Yeah, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? I mean, if Kevin Durant was on the Knicks are winning the title this year. But anyways, are the Lakers dangerous?
Mm-hmm.
Can the Lakers win the NBA championship?
Depends. Are people afraid of LeBron or not?
Mm.
Mario Chalmers is a bitch.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That guy, there's no Mario Chalmers without LeBron James.
I kind of feel that. Oh, no, I agree with that. But I kind of feel that. Like, do people fear LeBron James? Or do they just know that? Like,
don't ask me, ask Draymond.
Who do you think people fear more, Stephen Curry or LeBron James?
LeBron James.
Why?
Guy went to 10 straight NBA finals.
Right, so it became...
You can't tell me that the LeBronto Raptors with Lowry and DeRozan didn't fear him.
They fear him, or they knew what was coming? Not that doesn't make it...
Both can be true.
Yeah.
Both can be true. People fear LeBron James, dude.
It's people fear when Stephen Curry crosses half court, when the ball's in his hand.
But then people fear Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
But does anyone fear Damian Lillard in May?
No.
No, because he's on the fucking golf course. People fear LeBron James because he's usually going to the NBA finals.
Except in the West.
I still think there's a chance, man. Here's my thing. As of right now, the Lakers are in the 8th seed, but they're tied in the win column and loss column. Same record as Minnesota in the 7, New Orleans in the 9, and they're 1 game ahead of Oklahoma City and Dallas for the 10th and 11th, and 2 games with Utah. The West is wild right now.
So
they could finish anywhere between 4 and 14 at this point in the season.
If you want to answer the question of do people fear LeBron James, look at the standings and then ask the Memphis Grizzlies who they don't want to play. Because you make fun of me for saying Minnesota has a chance to win the West.
No, I made fun of you for wagering actual U.S. dollars on Minnesota Timberwolves to go to the NBA Finals.
But people are fine betting on Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because they have LeBron James.
Correct. And the other has Rudy Gobert.
I understand. I just want to make the point to
everyone. For context, Jack threw a lot of money, U.S. dollars, well, unit shaming, maybe. Subtly, on the Minnesota Timberwolves to go to the NBA championship. Do people fear the Lakers? You cannot sit here and tell me that Nuggets fans and Grizzlies fans want to play the Lakers in the first round.
No, they don't. I don't think they want to play Minnesota either.
What do you have with the Minnesota Timberwolves?
So Minnesota last year against Memphis, if they hadn't like been this immature, throw up all over yourself team, they would have beat Memphis. Memphis last year beat was Golden State's toughest test. Ja gets hurt. So I really think this Minnesota team, Rudy Gobert, everyone loves to troll him. And honestly, in the playoffs, he gets exposed. But they have one of the best fives in the West.
They have Jalen McDaniels.
But they have Conley, who's a vet. They got Ant, who did take a step this
Star.
Year. They got McDaniels, who's got length. And who knows, maybe Gobert and Cat, like...
Cat's a weirdo. Really good. He's just weird.
He's zesty.
That is the word. Yeah. That is the word. He's zesty. Every time he gets a microphone in front of his face, you're either going to cringe or just be like, is he flirting with me?
But he's good.
He's a good basketball player for sure.
So who knows? But
I know. I do know that the Minnesota Timberwolves, there's a 0.000% chance the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the NBA Finals.
Could they win a first round?
Sure, but that doesn't get you to the NBA.
Hold on, time out.
The Sixers win first round. Time out.
Could they win the second round? If hypothetically, this is the hypothetical. They land seven, they play Memphis, and then they play Sacramento. Could they win those two series?
That's implying that Golden State in the six wouldn't beat Sacramento in the three.
Sure. But I'm just saying. No.
They can't even go to the conference finals.
They can't beat Sacramento?
No.
Why?
Because they won't
play
them.
You don't believe that. Let's say Steph rolls his ankle.
Dude, you won't get me picking against the Kings. Come playoff time, I'll wittily be gwittying outside of the beam.
If they get to the conference finals, I'll have a great hedge opportunity. That's all.
Cash out for $7.
Here. Eagleson, mark this down. I just want to turn the air on.
Schmitzen?
No, I need fresh air circulation.
Yeah, my pits are... I'm starving.
Do you not eat anything?
No. Woke up at 9:30. Sorry, not everyone's doing legs this morning on a fucking Sunday before softball.
Getting the grind on. All right, Eagle Sam, we are coming back in for Cap right now. In 3, 2, 1. It's time for Cap of the Week, and I've got another association quote for you. If they want to change places, then hey, be my guest. This is in reference to Kyrie Irving telling the fans of the Dallas Mavericks that if they want to play...
Kyrie's already beefing with fans?
Wait, that if the Mavs fans want to play in the NBA, be his... I would love to play. On top of that, Kyrie Irving with the double down put another quote that said... you guys in the stands couldn't do what we did today.
I promise you.
Lose to the Charlotte Hornets?
I promise you.
We can figure that out.
If I had the platform that he did, I promise you I could figure out how to repost a documentary on Amazon, Kyrie. I can do what you do today.
So Cap of the Week is that Kyrie Irving
more than welcome to change places with me.
You want
to
be in this podcast studio right now? You didn't want to be in Brooklyn. You don't want to be in
Actually,
Manhattan.
I don't know if I want to switch places. Do I get to keep this little Devontae Smith signed helmet?
Yeah, it's nice, right?
I'll just buy Devontae Smith with Kyrie's contract.
Yeah, you probably could. Smitty, my boy. So, yeah, Cap of the Week, Kyrie Irving.
I've got two Caps of the Week. The first is just a little subtle one, and it's obviously a blatant lie. But amidst the whole Marquise Noel hype train that's been going on, everyone's been making about how he's the short king, he's 5'8", and everything. And people have been comparing him to, like, Isaiah Thomas, old Celtics Isaiah Thomas, like, the Gen Z Isaiah Thomas, we will, because he was 5'9 and was doing what he was doing in the NBA. I watched Marquise Noel in the last 2 weeks, and I watched Isaiah Thomas in the NBA. There's no way Marquise Noel is shorter than Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, to me, is the shortest player to ever step foot on a basketball court, and they're saying he's 5'9 and Noel's 5'8. I'm sorry. Maybe Noel's just personality makes him appear bigger than that. But like, if I picture Noel playing in these last 2 weeks, I get it was against college kids. Maybe they're not as big. And I picture Isaiah Thomas on an NBA court. My mind can't wrap its head around the fact that Isaiah Thomas is taller.
Seeing Marquise Noel yesterday in person, he's short. And I can also see why players like that, where if they're not literally scoring 28 a night, that they're such a liability on defense. Like his height when he was getting into switches, it's non-competitive. He's playing a whole foot below a lot of these wings and big men. So,
but it just felt like Isaiah Thomas was actually like consistently.
I think they're same height.
Probably. And yeah. Like I said, I'm just making shit up. But yeah. Like watching Isaiah Thomas play basketball in the NBA like reminded me consistently of the one meme of CJ McCollum in high school.
Little boy,
shorts to his ankles. Whereas Noel, he just more has maybe is more of an alpha presence that makes him seem like he's at least 6'4".
I don't know. 2016 Isaiah Thomas was special. MVP.
He was, but he was also I'm not saying he wasn't special.
But you're saying alpha. Like, you don't score 30 in the league.
No, even when he was doing that, like dropping 45 and everything, yeah. It was like, oh, cutie. Whereas Marquise Noel, I'm like, you're not a cutie, you're him.
Yeah,
you're him. So that's my first cap of the week is I want to fact check Isaiah Thomas or Marquise Noel's height. My second cap of the week, which I learned this week, comes in the form of now notable scumbag, in my book, C.J. Gardner-Johnson of the new Detroit Lions. We all know the story. He signed a one-year deal with the Lions.
Time out real quick.
Sure.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah.
What's the J? I thought it was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Okay.
But they call him C.J. It's gotcha. Chauncey something. Okay. Anyway, okay. I read into the details of his contract, so he called it a contract. It was reported 1 for $8 million, but let's dive into the details here. It's really 1.6, 1 for $6.5, which $6.5 million, nothing to bat your head to. And then he essentially signed a same game parlay for the rest of his contract. So here's the details.
So how is he a scumbag? That might be our type of guy.
Because he's going around boasting about just talking shit on Twitter where it's like, dude, you just. Like,
y'all switched up on him.
Is Nelson Aguilar making more than Gardner Johnson this year? Of course, he switched up on us. He's out here tweeting about how Lamar should be played higher than Hurts and talking shit on Hurts. He's a fucking bitch. Per source with knowledge of the deal, it has a base value of $6.5 million. Gardner Johnson can make another $1.5 million via a package of incentives. All of these incentives require the Lions to finish top 16 in yards allowed. He gets $375K for 70% playing time, $750K for 80%, $375K for 3 interceptions, or $750 for 5 interceptions. So here we go. He'll stand to make, on top of his $6.5 million, another $375,000 or another $750,000 or an extra $1.125 million or an extra $1.5 million or, and this is my favorite part, nothing at fucking all. This is the funny part. Even if Chauncey or C.J. Gardner-Johnson...
Nope, you had it the first
time. No, but that's like what he's called. Gardner-Johnson plays 100% of the snaps this year. Doesn't miss a snap, which I don't think has ever happened for a cornerback or a safety, whatever you want to call him. And has 15 or more interceptions. He gets nothing unless the Lions finish in the top half of the league defensively. It's betting on your team.
They brought in some dogs.
I mean, listen... He literally is betting on his team around him and then went out in the media and said that they're better than the team that went to the Super Bowl.
He must think so, or he's talking himself into the parlay.
He's cap cuck, or it's a lock until proven otherwise. Yeah, and that's what it's in mind. So cap of the week goes out to Gardner Johnson's contract, to everything surrounding C.J. Gardner-Johnson, because you're a petty little bitch.
Yeah.
And I used to love you, and now.
And I'm just curious, why can he... do a same game parlay on himself, but Calvin Ridley can't bet on
consistency
his
would be nice.
Yeah,
consistency.
Come on, Raj. Nice. A little consistency.
You know what I found out? If you work for the NFL or anything, and this is like Roger Goodell being a little like a cult leader, you can't play fantasy sports, any sport.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play fantasy baseball if you're in the NFL or if you work even the league office.
Yeah.
What?
No one follows that.
Actually?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Throw out some names.
No, I'm not doing
Throw
that.
Throw out some names.
Monday mailbag in the Discord. Titan says, who gets a ring first? Joel Embiid, Lamar Jackson, or Austin Matthews?
Do they even give out rings for the Stanley Cup?
I don't know. I thought you just lift a cup and then you get to drink some beer out of it.
Beer out of it, and then that's your ring.
Yeah.
So we're just going to throw Austin Matthews off this list, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who wins the rings first? Lamar Jackson or Joel Amid is how Eagleson spelled it.
Or maybe Titans spelled it like that. We don't know.
I don't really see the Atlanta Falcons getting over the hump anytime soon. Yeah. That's just how I feel. Whereas I do think that in 3 or 4 years that the Knicks might be able to get over the hump with Embiid.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Embiid here because Joel Embiid could earn one within the next 3 months. And Lamar Jackson is unemployed.
He's employed.
Is he? Oh, yeah, he's tendered. Just, he's a chicken tendy right now.
Yeah.
It's Embiid, baby.
Yeah, it's so funny how...
The answer is none of them.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade.
Like, we've gotten to this point where 2 years ago, this would have been like a highly intense topic, debating,
we're both screaming exhausted
at each other. Yeah, we're just tired at this point. I mean, my guy Lamar is out with his boy Barbie Ken shipping fake, workout stuff. And your guy is playing the best basketball of his career. The Sixers look amazing. You're all in. But at the same time, you're also like... We'll see when we get there.
It's like getting back into an unhealthy relationship where it's like
it's great right now, but what's coming?
We know we're all faking it right now. Yeah. This is fine and dandy. Like dinner was great, the sex is great, but at the end of the day, like we're gonna end up fighting in about a month and a half, and it's gonna be time is a flat circle.
That's probably the most accurate representation of the Philadelphia Sixers and their fanhood.
It's a toxic relationship.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And you every time you think that it's going to be, and we're the cucks, the fans are the cucks.
Yeah,
and the Sixers are the hot girls where you just keep running back to them. And at the end of the day, they're just going to break your heart. I'm all in. I'm so all in, and I think we could really do
it. Not even the West Coast trip is like
no, because these are schedule losses.
But that's
in my opinion.
They were all schedule wins for the last 10 games. Like now you see,
yeah, Jack. When things are going great, we talk great.
I just want to make sure
that's just. It felt like in the beginning of the year, where it was like I was hard time wrapping my head around watching regular season Sixers basketball because they were on and off. They were doing what they were doing, 4 or 5 seed at the time, and it's just like in the back of my head, like. I can't keep going back.
Mm.
They're just going to hurt me more. Mm. But
I'll be there.
I find myself right there.
I'll be there.
Sucked back in for this team. And it's the year.
Hey, you know what? At least your team has won a playoff game in the last 8,000.
Wait, let's wait for the official number.
Oh yeah. No, I was just saying, as a transition, now we're gonna bring in our boy Andrew Eagleson. Is the hood up? What do we think? What's your bet? Hurry up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Did he puke?
Did he puke? Did you puke, buddy?
No puke.
No.
We're good.
Hey, listen,
we're
what did you
strong.
Do last night?
So we went downtown pretty late and then came back for like back to residence, then went to a residence party and things quickly devolved from there.
Residence.
Talk to us.
You go to med school?
What's that mean?
What? Oh, come on. Like your dorms, where you live in college.
So say that.
You guys don't call it residence?
You know, you sound like you're going back to an old people's home.
I guess it does kind of sound like that. No, that's just what it's called here. I'm not really sure why. Just call it residence.
So how late did the festivities at the residencies go?
Like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. So you have a fair excuse.
Just a bunch of...
that's what I wanted to discuss was the you go to dinner situation. It reminded me of that. We'll do it on the next episode. Or maybe we do it on the draft series. We'll see. But Eagleson, write that down for Thursday's pod.
The steak dinner.
Yeah. You go to dinner with NFL team execs and what's the ordering strategy? Because I did talk to Sean Clifford about it and got his answer. So I'll disclose that on the next episode.
Well, Sean Clifford is also someone that probably has to impress outside of his tape.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like
CJ
Stroud.
No, but he said the general theme is it's all a game. And it's a fun game of they're all trying to fuck with you. Like, we'll disclose on next episode. But, Eagleson, what else you got going on? Or you just want to talk some Fins?
I mean, just in the midst of school shit right now, exams and stuff coming up, just blows. But yeah, let's talk about football. Let's talk about something.
You're like really crying today between your
dude,
hangover.
4:30 in the morning.
He's 20.
You cry when it's 10:30 at night.
I'm 27.
It's all right. Just block it out of my mind. Let's talk some football. I'm ready.
I never got hungover at that age.
All right.
You never got hungover.
No, it is. I really didn't learn what a cap of the week.
That's my cap of the week. You 100% have been hungover. Thank you.
I really didn't learn what a true hangover was. That I get them now until after I graduated college.
So you're saying you were soft in college.
Now, boy, do I cry.
A lot of tears. All right, Eagleson. I got your clock ready to go. 1 minute. The final finit starts now.
It's been 8,121 days since the Miami Dolphins last won a playoff game, and that traitor fuck Trent Sherfield will not be a part of our Super Bowl winning team. Some people that will contribute, however, are David Long, Braxton Berrios, who will be great at returning kicks. Deshaun Elliott, too, is a great physical safety to add to this DB room. He fits well with Fangio's two-deep safety defense. Malik Reed also had his best season in Fangio's system, by the way, similarly to Jalen Ramsey. Also, Andrew Van Ginkle, the special teams goat. He's got more touchdowns than Sherfield, too, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, he re-signed with the team, and I will not tolerate any slander towards him. Also, Cedric Wilson, still under contract with the team, heavily underutilized last season. I'm assuming that's because Sherfield was a much better blocker than him, but with him gone now, McDaniel really needs to find out how to maximize him and get our money's worth out of him. Next order of business, we need someone to come in and compete with Austin Jackson at right tackle, preferably not fucking Brandon Shell. Jackson either needs to take that step or we need to bring someone.
I don't even know if it's a dolphin noise not anymore. Even remote. My favorite line of that final finit outside of the opener every single time was him saying he will not accept any slander on a guy named Andrew Van Ginkle. As if I would sit here and waste my fucking breath on a man named Andrew Van Ginkle.
You are an all-time
hater.
Like,
who sounds like he was one of the Facebook founders from that movie.
This is you slandering Andrew Van Ginkle. I promise you. Good. You shouldn't.
How about Tua?
What happened with Sherfield?
He went to the fucking Bills. He signed with the Bills.
Oh, so he didn't even do any like Chauncey Gardner Johnson like talk shit. Any talk shit at Tua too.
He said he wanted someone who could throw him the ball, or he made some kind of comment.
No. Yeah, Pull that up.
What's his name?
Trent Sherfield. He said he wanted someone who could throw the ball.
Yeah, it was some kind of comment along the lines of someone who can throw me the ball better, or someone who can hit me, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, he was our good third receiver. He could block last season, and then he, I guess, decided he wanted to go to the Bills for some reason.
Trent Sherfield on his decision to come to Buffalo and play for the Bills with multiple teams in the mix for his services. If you want to be an elite receiver, come and play with an elite quarterback.
Mm. There it is.
What's wrong with that? You're not going to sit here and call Tua elite.
What? He led the league in passer rating.
Because we actually know, we could do this if we wanted to, and we would put you in a fucking worse hangover than you already have. However, Jack and I know that you genuinely can't sit here with a straight face, and at this point, consider Tua an elite quarterback.
For that reason,
we're going to let you off the hook on this one.
He's elite. That's fine. He got concussed. He was concussed. Severely. He was good before that. He was more than good. He was elite.
Remember the Packers game, the second half? That shit was so funny. All right, so my favorite takeaway from the final finit is I already figured out the theme of the Dolphins' year.
Paper? On paper?
Scheme fits. Every acquisition is perfect for Vic Fangio's
scheme. What could go wrong?
It's perfect for Tua's play style. It's so good for Mike McDaniel's offense.
It is. Thank you. It is.
Yeah. Look, that is good. It is good to get players that fit the scheme, because when players play out of scheme, they're less effective. That, because you bring in Deshaun Elliott, does not make him a good player just because he's playing to his strengths. Deshaun Elliott is a Longhorn. I've worked out in the same gym as him before. I've watched him on the Baltimore Ravens when he was drafted. He's honestly a pretty good player. He's just injury prone. But he's just one of many players that you spoke about there that just because he's playing in a good scheme does not make him like this now next level Pro Bowl player. He might be better than he was last year, but I don't know. The theme seems to be scheme, and that's scheming me out.
We have
Jack, that's totally fair, but we haven't played any football games with this defense yet, so I'm not really sure what else to say about them.
Which is why you guys should stop anointing yourself as the best defense and a top five offense.
But what we do have some metric to judge scheme fits and how everything will play out this year. NFL win totals came out early, the opening lines.
Have any guess
on what the Dolphins win total is?
No, let's.
What do I think it is, or
is
it? What is it? Should it be?
I think we should do a little rapid fire with him. Give him the team. He gives you the win total.
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs. What's the over-under win total for next year? Keep in mind 17 games.
11 and a half.
Got it. Let's go. Pittsburgh Steelers.
8.5.
2 for 2.
Wow.
Baltimore Ravens.
9.5.
8.5.
Yeah, that line's wrong.
Miami Dolphins. What do you mean that line's wrong?
What are they going to be at?
Finish it at 9.5.
They're going to. Are they at 8.5 too?
Show us your confidence to them. What?
Are they at 8.5 too? They should be higher, but I'm assuming that's where they have them.
They're at 9.5.
Yeah. They are at 9.5.
The market predicts that
you
would maybe go 500 this year.
I mean, Abe's talking like a big dog. Like, the Eagles aren't listed at 10.5.
Yeah, but the highest total is 11.5. Yeah. So it's like we're...
Those can't be right. The Chiefs are going to be 12.5.
No, I saw this. This is how it opened.
No.
This is how it opened.
Go on a sports book right now.
I can't because of my location.
I'll go on it. There's no way.
I'm telling you, the Ravens. Bet it right now.
No, well, first of all, it'll be heavily juiced in one direction. I'm not saying the Ravens. The Chiefs at 11.5, it'll be like -140 to the over. The Eagles at 10.5.
Here we go.
Like
I got a sports book. Dolphins 9.5 at -120.
Yeah.
Chiefs 11.5 at minus. The over is -105. There might be a little money to be made early action.
Wait, what are the odds on the Dolphins over?
Over 8.5 -150.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what the Eagles. Over 10.5 -150.
Yeah.
We're still them.
Yeah,
like, we're still the best team in the
NFC.
And
I'm still sharp as a fucking tack, boys. all right, Eagleson. Well, we appreciate you. What's your hangover cure? I think we've shared ours before, but yeah, what's the plan after this?
Cry.
The most crispy hash browns you can get. That's like I hate it when people get the super soft, mushy ones. I don't know about you guys. The most crisp, like, brown hash browns. Perfect. Amazing.
Send us a photo of that crisp.
Yeah.
What? I can't hear you.
Send us a photo of that crisp.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jack and I are actually headed out. It's opening day, baby.
Let's go.
We got a softball. We got a softball league, and you're the snapback boys for opening day. The lineup card came out. Heart of the order, this podcast right now.
Trey Turner, Bryce Harper.
There we go. We got
Jack. We kind of are Trey Turner, Bryce Harper.
We got Jack batting second and playing short. We got me batting third. I think I'm playing first right now, but might play a little outfield, a little Bryce switcheroo. The snapback boys are carrying the lineup. I have no idea what this is going to be like, but goddamn, am I excited.
Well, let's go get some lunch. Hook'em horns. Everyone have a great week. We will see you on Thursday. Hope you enjoyed this episode with J.R. Smith. Make sure you subscribe to the pod on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Much love. Peace.